All right, so recently, BuzzFeed, Adon's favorite website that he visits. I felt like BuzzFeed went from like a white site to like all they do is like appropriate black culture.
Minority,
yeah. Yeah, it's just our minority
so it's
like culture.
it's popular. It yeah. sells, guys. Like that's what Vice is built off of. Yeah. And I watch all the episodes.
Vice is great. I just want to say shout out to Flophouse.
Of course it's great.
what Vice is doing is amazing.
Guys, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I enjoy Vice.
I enjoy Vice.
It's an amazing platform.
I don't watch enough of it to have an opinion one way or another.
For those that David don't know,
I love
that.
Vice Land.
For those that don't know, David was on Vice's recent Flophouse episode of Atlanta.
Yeah, why didn't you tell anybody? Was it one of those situations?
Oh, because they didn't use my set. So I was like, okay. You're just going to see me talk real quick? And that's fine. You can see me do that. At the grocery store or whatever.
Was it
like,
you and Ismail?
It was me and Ismail. They used his set though. This dude's super
That's
funny.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's actually been on. He was on and off the record.
He was
mm-hmm. on off the record.
That was
super
good.
Funny dude.
Yeah.
Well, so BuzzFeed has a video that they released. It's called 27 Questions That People Want to Ask Black People.
No,
or 27 Questions Black People Want to Ask Other Black People.
And that was what was so interesting, because it's like, oh, we do?
I didn't know this. I didn't know that there was a
interesting
great
that these were questions that we all
within,
wanted to ask other. Yeah.
Exactly. That we didn't know the answer
that
to.
That we
already.
Didn't know that Google couldn't have helped them
exactly.
out with
so
to
therefore,
answer any of these questions.
We need BuzzFeed to facilitate this discussion.
I also like BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed once featured me. BuzzFeed once
you're
featured,
so famous now.
BuzzFeed once featured me 10 Metamore House of Future Bay and Sun goals. I was once.
Oh that's right. When your man Jazak took the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like,
I got in there, man.
Hey, why he gave up your connect though? Like
he did, bro.
straight
I'm saying,
hey.
You know what I'm saying? He,
hey, that's cool.
He gave you the
but
you were in there.
It could have just been organic.
It
like,
been
yeah,
organic.
Just
like we liked that dude, and he was like, nah.
You had a man on the inside.
Yeah, man on the inside. Look, I know that. They need to know that.
Man, let's be real. There's always a dude on the inside. The only way D1 could ever be successful.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
I liked. I hope they hear me. I did like that mixtape.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Play the doggo video. All right, we're gonna play it, and we're just gonna go through. And when you feel like you want to stop, when you want them to stop, we're gonna comment on these particular questions.
Hit me with a stop.
Hit me with a scratch. DJ, hold up, DJ. Rewind.
Hit it.
Why is it so hard to be on time? Like, why does 5 to 10 always become 20 to 30?
That's true.
All right. So wait, stop.
Just gonna stop. He said, so First one. Off the rip.
Why is it so hard for black people to be on time? That's the question. That's a question that black people want to ask other black people.
That's that question.
I'm about to say that question. I've never asked another black person one time. Like, all right. I've never once asked. It's like, you get one today, I get one tomorrow. Like, I'm not worried. Only time I've ever asked that from another black person is if a bunch of white people are around. And I'm like, come on, man. Hey, look. Look, they watching this. Like, what are you doing? Come on. Show up at least five, you know what I mean? Don't be 10 minutes late. You're like,
oh, God.
It's like, it's only when they messing up my money. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, you messing up my
come
money.
Come on now.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't talk because I'm always late. I'm late to everything.
I'm a pretty punctual person, so I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I'll back you up on that statement, but I generally, I don't know if it's a time thing, but all I know is like we have a pretty diverse church, but the second we added a 9 a.m. service, our church no longer was diverse. There was just a white service and then a black service.
That's true. That is actually
the later
true.
Service.
That makes sense.
That is true.
So
that
I don't know if sense. That was a late thing or if that's just like I like to sleep in on my Sunday.
In fairness, though, black churches, I mean, we only have early service
right.
for like Easter.
Yeah. It's usually 10:30, 10,
yeah,
11.
Yeah. Like the whole, that was Leon's trying to be all brand new. Throwing
yeah,
up this like,
yeah.
throwing up this early service. And he called it out early. Like he was
oh,
like,
yeah.
I know.
This needs to end.
I know my people will not be here for that early service.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think you a lot of these things, you got to think the cultural conditioning, like of people, how they grew up. And so, you know. Yeah. Well, your example, yeah, in a sense, like, I'm not going to come to an early service because most of my life I was raised to, you know, yeah, enjoy the Saturday night, sleep mm-hmm. in, yep. mm-hmm. and we're going to go to church on Sunday, you know, around.
Yeah.
And part of the assumption is that we know we're going to be there for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not going to get my whole day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, why am I waking up to get there at 9 when I'm going to be there at 2 anyway?
Because you ask yourself questions like, all right, who preaching today? Is he going to be there? Okay. Oh, okay. It's the choir. Because if it's the children's choir, I'll be late. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. And then the other thing is, like, you got to get fresh. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't come to, like, and see, this is this, it's this new kind of church wave movement where you just go to church in jeans and like a button up. Mm. Before it was like, nah, we you getting Easter fresh every Sunday.
I almost got in a fight when I first started going to Blueprint. Uh-huh. I almost got to fight my pops because I was started. He wanted me to go to his church.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I was in college. So he came to pick me up and I had on jeans and a button up. This is what you gonna do? You gonna come to the Lord's house with these jeans?
You gonna disrespect Jesus?
You gonna see straight up? Like he almost like he was like a moment. He was like, I know you think you're a grown man, but what you gonna do is go for the, like I had to like, nah, take me as I am. Like, you know what I mean? I had to have him, come on, guys. Like, and he was just like, well, I'm just saying, you're supposed to give him your best. Like, he was just like, it was a real moment of like,
because he felt like he has to answer to Jesus for you.
For me, he's like, look, God, I don't know what he done came out of this school. He don't know who he is no more. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry, that was the first question.
Yeah, no, we like 10 seconds into this video.
My dab is on fleek. Am I lit?
Why is it a problem if I like anime?
Why do black people look at your shoes before they greet you?
Rewind back to two.
Yeah, that was number two. Well, the question was, if my dab is on fleek, is it?
If my dab is on fleek, is it lit? First of all.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So
we gonna stop on everyone. Is that what
why not? Deserves our full attention. It is that ridiculous.
Can we listen to like about three of them and then like?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Let's knock that one off.
Let's knock it out.
It's stupid.
It's dumb.
It's very super dumb. That's the most white statement in this video.
Yeah. Who? What right writer wrote that for you to ask black people?
That's really what like put in people's antennas up. Also, yeah. It's just like, wait a second. I just ain't nobody black asking that question. And no one with any intelligence who's white asked that question.
Or they just thought it was trying to be funny.
Here's what it is. That black dude had a white friend. Like, look, I know you about to ask a bunch of questions, and I really need this one answered for me. So what I'm gonna, and he just slid him a note.
My Trojan horse.
And sent him in. And then he was like, come on, bro, just help me out this one time, because I've been confused this whole time.
Why is it a problem if I like anime?
Why do black people look at your shoes before they greet you?
Everyone should hate anime. Just
why are we more likely to engage in the new dance trend than we are to get involved in?
All right, so we'll stop after this one. All right, so there's three of them. There's the anime, there's the look at the shoes, and then there's this crazy woman who I don't like anything she says throughout the whole video.
Yeah.
Anime, to each his own. Keep it out my zone.
Can I say this? I don't know a black person that's like my that doesn't love a particular anime.
Talking about Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z, right? Yeah, I had a white homeboy come to me. He's like, yo, is it like a black thing that like really love Dragon Ball Z? Because like, y'all guys really love it. And I was like, I know I love Dragon Ball Z.
I just think he had just the wrong friends or something. I've never enjoyed anime. I never liked anime. But when I went to college, I met so many people.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who watched anime. And I was like, word? This is a thing? Yeah. Like black folks like it? And I was like, oh, okay,
it
cool.
wasn't mine, but... other homies in the remnant, everybody exactly. else in it, they were just like, yo, this is it. I was like, oh,
and then they
okay.
put me on Ninja Scrolls, and I was like, yo, this is pretty dope. Okay. Yeah, this is an anime? What?
Yo, so looking at shoes before you greet someone, do you do that?
I've never been a thing for me.
What about you?
Nah, I'm currently wearing Skechers, so absolutely not.
Never.
No, the whitest shoe you can find.
I will say that I do believe that shoes are somewhat of a status symbol in black culture.
Absolutely.
But not like as I'm walking up and I address you, I'm like, oh.
Maybe just phrase that weird.
Yeah.
But like I can see the origins of that, but right. not.
Yeah.
Before we say anything. Let me look
shoes
down.
Are important.
Are shoes important in the ginger red-haired community?
No, I would say I definitely notice shoes.
Okay.
And I definitely probably take, I would say I notice shoes of like my black friends. I probably pay attention to that more than I like care. Like, because my white friends don't care to like step up their shoe game. I like shoes. So I probably take cues from my.
Interesting. I feel like the other part though, is that just generally you hear advice about women paying attention to shoes, right. which yeah. is why
absolutely
like it speaks to like you caring about yourself in, mm-hmm. in the rest of how. So I agree that and absolutely there's status symbol among, you know, certainly a lot of pockets among African American Black people, but like it ain't nothing. I ain't gonna look at that before I greet you.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, shoes are it's, even if we talk about like apart from the, I guess you could say the social, well, yeah, I mean the financial status, it held strong social status mm-hmm. as well. You talking about a gospel song that had, I got shoes, you got shoes, all of God's people got shoes. Mm-hmm. Well, that song is talking about the celebration of the fact that we are no longer slaves.
Yeah.
And we can afford the fact that in heaven, we're going to have some shoes.
Yeah.
And so in a sense, it's kind of like the tantamount of Nelson Mandela trying to rally for people to have pants in prison, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it brings dignity in some way. It's like, man, this gives us some form of dignity.
Absolutely.
And puts us on a, like you have to look at us differently now. Mm-hmm. And so the things that may be, mean nothing to you means a lot to us.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, and so that, yeah, but so this
and then
next
the other one was the why do we show you're shaking your head even now?
It's just
why are you more apt to learn the latest dance than get politically involved? Is the question.
I think she's ridiculous. So, and I think we're going to consistently hear the ridiculousness out her mouth.
Can I say though that I think this is true of most people?
Everybody.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't think it's. Everybody. I just want to say for the record, I don't think it's a ridiculous statement. I just think it's true of
it's ridiculous because she's singling out African Americans.
Okay,
she's
okay.
making it as if
okay.
this is an African American yeah. problem. And I'm saying, like, everybody does it.
All
like, you can go in all
kids.
Cultures. Yeah, exactly. It may not be dance for white kids. It's something else.
Right.
And, yeah. like, you find the average white 18-year-old, and guess what? They're not engaged in politics.
Right. Absolutely.
Also, you talking about starting a business. Many of us do start business. You just happen to get arrested for it. So...
our innovation is a little different.
I missed that question. What was the question?
Was that next one?
Is that the next one?
Also, you're saying, say, be politically involved or start a business.
Oh, yeah. She's an idiot.
And I'm only talking about marijuana here. Let me be very clear about what I was saying, because I felt
all
like
right, so
there was some
on.
Hesitancy there. And I was like,
politics or opening a business.
How did watermelon become our thing? Like, everybody should love watermelon.
Why do you get upset when I don't like a black celebrity? Race aside, some people are just terrible.
Why do we call each other?
Okay, can we stop?
Yeah.
Sure.
So... How did watermelon become our thing? Again, I don't think that's a question for black people. Okay,
yeah.
That's a question for white folks.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because yeah. even the follow-up question was, everyone should like watermelon. Who are you talking to then?
Yeah.
That ain't for black people. Like,
yeah.
This is crazy.
So I think he and the other girl, I think, first of all, I just want to meet all these folks. I just want to sit down and just wonder.
You
I want to just
them.
Get a bio.
They're on Twitter.
I want to get a bio of them.
You want to get a bio?
I want a bio. I just want to
what's
know.
What's your backstory?
Yeah, what school
you
went
about?
To?
Yep.
Who are you?
Like, also, I feel like in order to be even asked these questions, you should have been checked. You know what I mean?
Okay. Like, do you get the email kind of check?
Yeah. One of those. Like, do you know? Like, honestly, there are certain... Okay, let me get to him. But like, you know, we know who can ask these questions.
You
want to
run the Rachel Dollaz out questions
yeah,
to him. You want to quiz him
like,
real quick.
Yeah, who you know?
So
who
you
your
got,
peoples is?
So if there's a purple crown royal bag,
come
what
on,
do
what
you
is
do
that?
What do you do with
change,
it?
Change, change, change. It jing-a-lang. That's
yeah.
what that does.
Yeah.
But
damn,
no.
your thoughts on these?
I mean, I haven't hit one that's like, did I agree with that you guys are like disagreeing with? So.
Okay.
Do you
like
except
watermelon?
For being late, I love watermelon. And in fact, I didn't know, like, to be honest, I didn't know that was a thing because I like literally like every family cookout we had watermelon. So like when I moved to the city and people had watermelon, it wasn't like this like thing that I was shocked by. So.
I loathe watermelon. Like, there's nothing about watermelon.
I just
like
spitting the seeds.
What?
Yeah, I don't do it. Was there another one in there? So it was, black celebrities. Why is it?
You get upset when
I just, I don't think anybody, I think it's just Beyonce. Like, if you don't like Beyonce, then people hate you.
But that's black.
And white women don't like you when you don't like Beyonce.
Exactly.
It's just,
so it's not black celebrities. It's just like.
I look at people wearing their own, like Oprah.
Really?
I can agree with that.
Like,
there's something wrong with you.
Interesting.
Either you know something I don't know. Or
I was about to say, like, what would when they give you like the Illuminati things? Like, are you like, oh, okay, now I see why you don't like her? Because like people have really weird conspiracy theories around people of a certain.
I think her story is one to be like really, like, I don't know, praise isn't the right word, but she, like, came from nothing.
Right. Absolutely.
And what she's
Absolutely.
Accomplished is amazing.
Right.
Now, she went off the freaking deep end spiritually, so I can't really rock with her.
But she always has kind of been universal.
New Age.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand. I can understand why. I don't know. I'm trying to be an advocate for some of the questions and, like, figure out, like, maybe they meant this.
There's a couple of them.
Don't
I thought
worry.
Were
yeah.
Good,
don't
though.
Worry. I'll get racist here.
No. There's a couple that I thought were actually
upset when a white person uses the N-word.
That one right there.
Okay. Yes, we had to talk about this. So, of course, I would never use this word. But
good
I
start.
I do think it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I do forever I'll not understand, and I've just given up under trying to understand this idea that
also good.
It's
thank you.
It's offensive from me, and it's not. I think it's offensive universally. Mm. And if it's not, I don't quite understand why. But it's one of those things that I've just come to terms with the fact I'm white and I won't understand.
That is the best answer.
That's what you should have said. That's what you should have said. It just left it alone. It's like, look, I'm white and I don't understand. And
that was
I'm
a good
cool.
answer. That's
and then finish it up with, I'm cool with not understanding. And I won't ever try to figure it out because this is not something that I should desire to want to say in the first place.
Sure.
And for people who want to try to figure it out, I just don't get them. Why do you, like, why are you so desiring to, especially white folks, why do you so desire to want to figure out this conundrum? Like, what about this?
I think I get it.
It's so confusing to you.
If I'm being real, I think part of it is, like,
no, I get
in
it,
dominant culture, you're never
thing.
Really left out. So that's, like, the one thing. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, for sure.
Why am I, like, why? Because there's no other part of culture where you're left out.
Exactly.
And this one thing is just like, wait a minute, why? So I get the whys.
But this is the funny thing about this, and this is the complete confusion and the great paradox about this. I get why black people don't like the word either.
Absolutely.
So I understand both. Go ahead.
Can we ask this real quick?
Yeah.
Who in here is?
I use the word all the time.
I know. I just want to make sure people know. Yeah, pro.
I use it.
Okay, as do I.
But like, I will say this.
Though.
There you go.
I have definitely pulled back from when I was younger. But
I use the word all the time, but I know I use it around certain people.
Yeah.
And I know there are particular people, and I'm not saying white, like there's certain black people I won't use the word around because I recognize, like, around them it's a sensitive word. But for me, I recognize the what it represents and what it doesn't represent.
Right.
And when
right.
you talk about if anybody had a sensible understanding of history, first of all, don't come with me to that.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Because you're cheapening what the word has now become and how people have, and I hate to use the word, but in ways redeemed it or tried to take it and remove the sting of it in a sense so that it's no longer offensive for us and in a way is how we connect with one another.
It's even
in struggle. Right.
To some people, I've literally gotten to one of my best friends. I introduced him as my friend to other people. And then he pulled me to the side and was straight up like, I thought I was just like, he was like, and then I had a moment. I was just like, my bad. Like, you know what I mean? And then it's like that. I can't explain that at all, but I knew what he meant.
It's a very interesting thing. Cause I think, you know, show what you were talking about. So I can articulate and argue either side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I can absolutely be like, this is why we should not say it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is why it's okay if we say it.
Yeah.
And I can fiercely do both of those things. I can say for myself, I have not gotten to a point where I feel okay recording any music with that word because I can't control it after that. Like, I can't control the context
that's
of that
fair.
After. Now, that's me personally.
Unless you wrote a song like Jim Crow.
Unless maybe.
Yeah.
Show, you know, allowed me to get on that song. And that, but, you know, so there's that part of it. The other thing I would say is that, like, so I don't, like, run around making the argument like, yo, you should be able to say it. We should be able to say it. I don't do that. But I don't understand, like, when anybody outside of the black community doesn't get the concept of relations dictating language.
Yeah.
That is what I don't get. Because if someone's married, it'd be wrong for me to walk up and say, call someone like, hey, girl or baby or what.
Yeah.
The husband would completely understand that, yo, you don't have the relationship to actually do that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
wrong.
Absolutely. No one would ever see anything wrong with that.
That's a good point.
So, like, I don't understand how someone outside of a community could look at people using language around one another and be like, well, what's, why can't I say that word too? What's wrong with me saying it if y'all can say it? It doesn't make sense.
Excellent point.
I've never heard it put like that. That's that was, actually that was the great. Best
and
way
I'm
to
stealing
put
it. Yeah. And I'm using it,
I'm using
that
forever.
Relationship that dictating language.
Mm.
Chase Mook.
Move on.
It pains my soul to hear the word.
Shut up.
And I just don't understand how people who have any understanding of history I'll can use that word.
Why is my natural hair, the hair that grows out of my head, seen as a political statement?
Why do we think people with light skin look better than people with dark skin?
Do you really believe that black is beautiful?
Or is that just something you say because it sounds cool?
Why do some black people say that you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl?
When that is said to me, it still makes me feel like the ugliest little black thing.
Why do you some... You just gotta, there's so many. Oh.
Yeah.
I will say, the first thing that popped in my head when she was talking about the natural hair was, I feel like that's like an old black people thing. You know what I mean? Cause like
some of it's generational.
It's definitely generational. Cause I like my granddad sees my hair and he's like, you in front of people with that? Like he literally would be like, I remember him saying, you'll never make it with that hair on your head. They'll never let
you. You ain't amount to nothing.
Yeah,
bro.
Like you'll never. And then he'll reference like First 48. And it just be like, yeah, see them niggas on First 48 with them locks. You can't trust them niggas with them locks. And like, but like that's it's a, and it's older black people will kind of be like, how you walk out with your hair looking like that, like not shaved and not, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
I think that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, this is a generational type deal.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the perspective as I understand that there is probably a hypersensitive, like existing outside the culture, you see that there is sensitivity in various spots.
Right.
And so, and what listeners can't see in this is that the girl talking about this obviously has natural hair, mm-hmm. and then the people talking, except for the one dude that we all hate, are all very dark skinned.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, there's probably a hypersensitivity to these people saying these things, wishing to not be grouped in, which, Sho, you talked about this before. Like,
it's a real issue, yeah. But I mean, it's like, but I think it's an issue. I think, and so I off the top, and I hate making it, creating a class system within the African American community, but I feel like they're addressing the underachieving kind of like of the community.
Sho.
Nobody with sense is having these discussions anymore. It's like we've moved past this. That's the kind of stuff that Spike Lee was dealing with in the 80s.
There's no way you cannot make that statement that you just made. Because this entire thing is 27 questions black people, some black people have for the other black people that we don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, it is.
And but
you should have led with, this is 20-something questions, bougie black people.
Yeah,
it's another way
bougie
to put it.
Yeah, black people in the ghetto.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, now, to that end, though, I want to be very clear about the, like, you know, not to discount the black girl who was making this remark about the political statement. I don't want to discount the fact that black women going natural is a really huge thing,
yes,
for black women, in a way that's like, even black men, we just don't, it's not our story.
Yeah.
So like, when you, if you Google Big Chop or any of those things, you'll see women, black women, like, cause it's a psychological thing. Like, if you think about the things they have, that they've gone through, in the sense of, and you know, Good Hair, that Chris Rock, the documentary that he did years ago, like the idea of black women who've like gotten perms really early and their hair, you know, was made to look like European or white people from, like, then when they were very young, they never really knew to embrace like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very weird because I've heard so many stories of those black women who then go around like white people or people that they work with or team, and like the understanding is off because they're just like, why'd you do that? And it's like, this is actually my hair. Like,
right.
My hair actually is this way. And that's viewed as some type of like shocking, you know, statement, when
concession.
It's like, yeah, just even this idea of like, man, that's, That's
like I'm doing this to spite you.
Yeah, and it's like no, like no. My hair, like can't, I was doing all the other things before to make you comfortable. Like it's just a very interesting. So
I think for her, and she seems like she would be an intelligent young lady. Mm-hmm. Like she has to know, even though she's not making a political statement, it is a political statement.
Okay,
just because it's the fact that it goes against all the beauty norms in corporate America. So the fact that you walk into whatever facility in corporate America with your hair like that,
right.
Though you're like. You made this assessment last week. I'm not making any political statement. I'm not making any spiritual statement. I just wanted to grow my hair long.
Right.
But for them, it's like, well, that's not how black men in our corporation should look. We want them clean shaven, no beard, and we definitely don't want locks hanging from their head.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so for you to be, you know what? But this is my hair. This is me and who I am. What you're saying is I am kicking out. I'm kicking against all of the norms that this corporation or corporate America feels. Yeah. Are apropos for their particular culture. And so whether we like it or not, to some degree, it is making a political statement. Until black people and the beauties that we find normal, or until we become the cultural majority, those things are going to be countercultural.
So largely, I think we have some disagreements with it, but I think ultimately we can let that question pass.
Yeah.
Like that's one that goes by. However, though, why do we think light skin looks better than... Mm. On people than dark skin, I think was the question.
Yeah, who is
so? Who, let's and again reminder: they're framing these as the why do we black people think light skin looks better
than people with dark skin?
The answer to this is kind of stupid.
David needs to answer this question because we were arguing about Stephen Curry earlier, and you made some statements about how Stephen Curry gets favorable treatment because he's light-skinned. So this falls in line to some degree.
You don't think light-skinned people get favorable treatment historically?
Yeah.
I don't feel like I would say anything crazy.
We don't have any light-skinned. We have a light-skinned deficiency at Fourth.
But I'm saying like you should be able to speak to this.
I mean,
to her assessment.
I'm only speaking historically speaking. That has been.
So you feel like her question is valid.
I also think it's a generational thing. Because again, it's my granddad. My granddad is kind of he's a little bit lighter than me, and I'm like in the middle. Yeah. And he has you can hear him kind of talk, and he has like these issues with darker skinned people as if it's not a thing that's attractive. So I think it's one of the things that's more generational.
I
think it's still kind of it's still around a little bit.
Generally, he's making not good art now, but Spike Lee answers so many questions with his early films.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
All of these things have been like.
But do you think black people are asking these questions to black people?
Though? That's what I'm saying. Like back in the day.
I don't think now
any of us are thinking along the like Lupita Nyong'o is gorgeous, and of us are just like wow.
From top to bottom, gorgeous.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I don't think we as once again, unless you're, unless you're talking to the underachieving aspect of the culture, yes, maybe those folks are have some sort of colorism within them. But yes, I will say that Hollywood perpetuates the idea of colorism.
And I was going to say white culture perpetuates this.
Yes, but I don't think black people are walking around in general with the consensus as it was generations ago.
Right. That unless you're Lil Wayne, because Lil Wayne mixing somebody all the time. Like, it's always a yellow, red ball
Kanye
somebody.
Too. Kanye too. Kanye is forever shouting out light-skinned women.
Well, he got a couple Kelly Rowlands that he...
Yeah, but he was saying a couple Kelly Rowlands. That's it. That's the only...
But, was that... Oh, the other one was, do you think black is beautiful?
Are you just saying that?
Does it just sound good?
I don't understand that question.
That's a dumb question. I'm trying to
Let's
figure out
Let's just move
who,
on from that one. That's just a stupid
question. All right, here we go.
Black men only date white women.
Why is it okay for black men to date white women, but not okay for a black woman to date outside her race?
Are we going to address any of those?
You address it. What do you think?
What
do you think when you see a black man, white woman, and are
you could definitely answer it from Renovation because that's all white we got woman. In Renovation Church.
Yo, at one point in time, they said so the running joke in Blueprint was biracial is BP Church is biracial parent church.
So I will say I think the stereotype that I know generally to be spoken of in kind of white circles will be that a black man marrying a white woman is what's her issue? And if a white dude marries a black girl, it's there's a he's saving said black female.
Yeah.
And I would say that's probably the general kind of stereotype. So do I agree with those? Absolutely not. I think that's stupid. But I think generally, if we're going to frame these as like, why do they exist? I mean, all of these questions exist because white culture dictated them to be questions, to be asked. And then I think African-American culture adopted them and said, okay, let's ask these questions to ourselves. So
that's a good point. But I
what?
I don't struggle with any of this. I don't struggle. My brother's married to a white woman.
This is dumb.
Yeah, my brother's married to a white woman. I don't think anybody's asking that question. I will say I do know some people who are close to me who asked the question. I will say I do know some people close to me who still struggle to some degree with biracial marriages.
Yeah.
And they do make the statement like, why do people have fits when they see a black woman marrying or dating outside of race? But I think by and large, this is another situation where I think people have like, man, we've progressed. We've moved on.
I don't know if that's.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
I should say this.
So you feel like this is the first legitimate question?
It is to me. Yeah, okay. This is the first to my legitimate question.
Before you go, I will say this. The first one, I think, is just framed badly because it's why do black men only date white women?
Yes.
Which is wrong.
I didn't even address it like that. I just kind of just like.
That's the part where I'm just like, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Only like whatever.
Yeah,
the other one was the why is it okay for black men to date white women but not okay for black women to date outside her race? That I could understand maybe being given a little more legitimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the first one, I'm just like,
the question that I would like to ask probably is there seems to be a kind of a visceral reaction amongst black women when a white woman kind of comes into a scenario and kind of quote unquote steals the black man.
Absolutely.
I would refer you to Jungle Fever by Spike Lee. I keep saying that Spike Lee answers every single question.
Say the Last Day. All of these movies have been made about this idea. So I will just ask the question, why is it? I mean, none of us are women, so this is so difficult. But is that true?
It comes out of a long standing idea, and you know, anecdotally or statistically, however people view it, but just the idea that there's a limited pool of available black men, right, who are of age, not imprisoned or educated or whatever. And I'm using air quotes with a lot of this stuff because a lot of data actually debunks this now. But regardless, this is like the narrative that exists. And so what you've seen, I think, over time throughout lore is the idea, and in real life, I don't want to say that this doesn't happen in real life, but that black women feel like, man, there's so few available black men. And when they go and leave, I'm using air quotes again, to date outside of their race, it's like, man, like, why can't we focus on building the other part is there's so many black women who are going unmarried and they're just like, why is this like, this is an issue because there's this shrinking pool and we're losing, like, it's a losing thing. The idea that the way the conversation is framed often.
Would you say that black men are more apt to date outside of their race than white men are more apt to date outside of their race?
I don't know if that's the case, but I do know what happens often with, and in this case, I'm talking about white men who date black women, not because white men date a various amount of people or whatever, various races.
White men be dating.
Women be shopping and white men be dating. But what ends up happening a lot of times, what I hear happen more often is like ideas around like fetishism and exotic, like the idea of the exotic being praised among like, oh, you're looked at as like
racially ambiguous
and just this idea of like this is something foreign and taboo and so it becomes this thing of like what's your motivation around doing this. We obviously know plenty of interracial relationships that either go white man, black woman, or black man, white woman. Even early on Daniel. Yeah. Toy. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I'm just putting their names on the street.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just commenting. Shout out, Daniel.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, yeah. I don't know if I answered that question.
I was trying to frame it,
but yeah.
And so, okay. I hate when I do bits on this show.
But please do.
So I think it is more likely for black men today. Because I have this bit, and this is true. I don't know. I remember I say this like when I start talking about white people on stage, and I say, if white people don't get offended, like I was actually voted most likely to bring home a white girl by my family.
There it is.
Which is like, I'm joking, but like I remember being like 11, 12,
yeah,
13, and my aunt just took me out for lunch and they were talking. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, Dave's gonna bring up a white girl.
Really?
And I remember being like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, I just want any girl to talk to me at this. You know what I mean? And you're already getting me very specific. And I think a lot of it had to do with, like, maybe my upbringing. And that's, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. how I was brought up, and they didn't think I was, like, quote unquote, like, the blackest nephew. Right. Whatever that means. You know what I mean?
That's a dope title to have, though. I'm the blackest.
I'm the nephew. Blackest nephew. I always want, I didn't want it. Because. By their standard of black. But it definitely is. I think it's a thing that, like, even like my friends, like family, have to joke about it. Like, man, if you get any more, you know, out there, you definitely gonna bring home a white girl. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it's a weird thing to, especially like the spaces that I think that, like, depending on what you do, the space that you're in. Like when I was out in LA, after the show, I was like, oh my goodness. Like,
yeah, you're from LA. That's very, yeah, all the,
I mean,
time.
Yeah. Just,
and I think the part of the reason is why you see a lot of athletes who marry outside their race. And and the Kanye West line, and when he get on, he lead you up for,
right. That's what I was saying about LA, because I had a really good set, and then all of a sudden I was hanging out, and then it was like, oh, y'all want to hang?
White girl showed up.
White girl showed up, but I was just like, oh snap! Like,
I think a lot of it is you think about the context. Because
in my head, I was like, I made it. Like, I was like, I did it.
Bottles on bottles.
In my head, I was thinking like, I must have had a really good set. Like, I started thinking about Kanye's lines.
You were awarded with white women?
Yeah, I was awarded.
Oh,
with,
my gosh.
With that harem?
No, but it, literally in my head, I was like, because I was
so
like,
well, David.
Yeah, here's like, some white they women. Like waited, you know what I mean? Like waited to hang out. And I was just like, is this what make it? Is this what they talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a weird feeling. So anyway, I said.
But I would ask you this though, is how many black women were in the crowd?
Like, very few.
That's what I'm saying. So like, when we think about a lot of the context that some of these guys may come up in, and the trajectory and the path that they take, oftentimes some of them, if they grew up in a hood, and I say this from the conditioning that they have,
yeah,
when they grow up in the hood, they don't have a great picture of black feminism, or mm-hmm. black female. So they believe the stereotypes of they're loud, they're hard to deal with, they're obnoxious, and all these other things. And so when they get to college and they meet somebody who's totally different, and then they find like, and then you also believe these ideas that have been conditioned in you since slavery, that the black man desires white women, or let's keep them away from them because of their sexual appetite and everything. So then it's like all these little nuances that play within your psyche when you get to college or when you get to a place of prestige and you have a David moment where you do something excellent, and then you start to get the attention of people who you probably didn't have that attention growing up.
Yeah.
It's appealing.
Yeah. What's that Paul Moody line? My dad always says Paul Moody line. He's like, well, Paul said, don't get too famous. They'll take you.
Yeah, so.
And my dad was like that. But I will say this too. I remember there was an article out. You're talking about the reverse of like black women and white men.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article about like super powerful white men.
Okay.
Like million, you know what I mean?
Oh,
having
right.
black. Having black, like a lot of them,
absolutely.
Having like black women,
yeah,
and
yeah.
saying like it was kind of like they.
Eve came up.
Eve came up, yeah.
All
Eve,
the way up.
Eve definitely came up.
She is no longer the pit bull in the skirt out of Philly.
Yeah, but it was like, a list of like, they kind of like.
Robert De Niro, George Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you see
boy,
like these
Dirk
super.
Nowitzki.
Yo, coming to the cookout.
When he's, did you see when they had the play with the foil on it? I was like, oh, you good.
Yeah.
Anyway. I wish I knew the article, but it was talking about the reasons why or.
My wife is like the greatest advocate for black people dating outside, black women, because she's like, she grew up in that kind of, that setting where all the men wanting to date the white girls, because she's like lower Alabama and all the football players are like, we gonna date white girls.
Mm.
And so anytime she sees a black woman with a white dude, she's like, good for her. Because some dude passed her up right, in high school. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So absolutely.
I'm like, so I'm like, babe, don't worry. You got your man. You straight.
Yeah. Right.
Stop man. Living through these other folks.
Oh, anyway,
let's keep this going.
Why do you protest Black Lives Matter?
And then tear each other down in the next breath.
Why do we say that we don't? Because
you know that's gonna, that deserves to stop.
I had my finger on the button.
Go ahead.
I mean, no, this is you know, I have these conversations in circles of white friends, and this comment, it just, you know, it irks me because it's so consistent. So
yeah.
It's the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay, it's cool, but shouldn't black people be dealing with the number one issue in their communities, which is black on black crime? And so as I do with a lot of things, I just steal what Adon says. And
I stole it from someone, so just keep it moving.
Just the fact that there's a house on fire and we're dealing with this issue, and you are wondering why there's aren't more, like, why we're not dealing with other houses on fire. Like, we're dealing with this house. And there's other things to deal with as well, of course. But so I think that's a good idea of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement.
And so, I mean, and there's so many ways to deconstruct that. But I mean, you could just go like, one, you're paying for one, you're not paying for the other. Like as we are talking about agents of the state, and as paying into the state, then there's a level of understanding. We should say that, hey, maybe you should not be killing us at disproportionate rate. We're, you know, like, this is just whatever. But aside from that, the question wasn't even like put on the side of, like, which is also disingenuous. It'd be disingenuous if it was like Black Lives Matter versus black on black crime. But it wasn't even put that way. It was like tearing each other down.
Yeah.
Which is like, why do you speak ill of someone else who's black when there's this black, like, what? Like, how are these two things, like, equitable? Like, how are they put on the same level? Like, this is not whatever.
Yeah, these questions feel like when you see a black sitcom, and then you look and it's just white writers. It's like, God, I knew they missed something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, they didn't get it. Like, yeah. they didn't get it.
We don't have to stay long on that one. Unless you have more you want to add.
I think one, the only thing that hasn't been said here that I think is pretty destructive is the fact that there are black people who are dealing with the black on black crime issue.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, that's a really good point.
Yeah, as if nobody, we just turn a blind eye to all of the ills in our community, and we just focus on police brutality.
Right. Yeah, that's a media thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we do not control.
Exactly. Yeah. If all of the initiatives that people are doing in our community were spotlighted, then there will be a lot more, the narrative will be a lot different.
Absolutely. You can go to anywhere in Zone 3 and Zone 4 and see the organized protests and marches. Like,
yeah,
you just ain't working to figure out that's happening.
True.
It's not popular.
Be seen as a monolith, but then try to take people's black cards away for not liking something that's supposedly black.
Why are we so...
So I agree with that. So this is the one statement that was communicated that I feel like, amen. So... One of the things that I do hate, especially about Black Twitter and the new Black social media kind of like universe, is that people are so quick to talk about how we're not a monolith. Oh, we're diverse people. We're dynamic. But as soon as Stacey Dash or somebody makes a stupid comment, which, yes, stupid, ignorant statement, we quickly say that they're not black, and it's not just in jest. Some people do it in jest, right? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I understand. But there are some people who are dead serious. Yeah. And like Ben Carson, like, oh, Ben Carson's not black. He's a coon. He's a puppet. Or anytime there's a black conservative, oh, they're just a tool. They're just a... And look, I'm not saying what they stand for is something that I would go out and rally for in the streets. But if we're going to create this narrative that we're dynamic and we're not a monolithic people, then we have to accept all spectrums, all paradigms of people who come through our doors. And I don't think we're willing to do that. And I will say that is the one statement that I will say has some equity within this conversation.
I disagree with everything you just said.
I'm glad.
I disagree with everything you just said.
Okay.
Only reason why I say that is because... You mentioned the Stacey Dash and the Ben Carsons, and I'm like, I don't have a problem with conservatives, and I think most black people will not necessarily have a problem, because you'll look at a Colin Powell and be like, okay, we can respect it coming from, because it makes sense coming from his mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some sort of intelligence and like so honest.
You're saying the idiocy.
The idiocy of, yeah, we're like, come on now. Like, that ain't you. So the puppet idea, I'm like, yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. When it's certain black conservatives, because it's like, who wrote this? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't, that's not consistent
do
with.
Do you think that with Charles Barkley? Out of curiosity.
I think, I don't know. I've been around, like, I've seen Charles Barkley in public, and I feel like he's one of the people Paul Mooney talked about. Like, they took him. And, you know what I mean?
But like, you got to understand who Charles Barkley is and how he grew up. Like, that's my thing. Like, Ben Carson, and I think I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Ben Carson's not an idiot, though.
He's not, but we agree?
And he's not sold his soul. He's not a puppet. He has values that he's adopted growing up. And just because they're not the values that Obama has, doesn't mean...
Nope.
Okay, no what?
No, okay? Listen, I'm not saying he's an idiot, but when you say Obamacare is worse than slavery...
Okay, so I think that's a, okay, I think just that's for a clarity, ridiculous.
He said Obamacare is the worst thing since slavery.
Even
I know, compare, I know, but I'm just for right, fairness, you're right, just you're for right, fairness,
right. You're right. To be fair,
different statement,
right? Yeah. And I'm saying, as someone who I'm like, oh, you don't, I will take your black card, not in jest,
but
just
I bet you, and I'm not saying this to demean you in any way, but I will bet you that Ben Carson knows more about black history and is a proponent of black history more than you. Myself, sure. And Adon Bean are in 10 times over.
Right.
That's hilarious. I don't mean to demean you in any way, bro.
But you don't know. And this dude that you called a puppet.
So what I'm saying is that just because a person expresses their the pathologies
but
within
that,
black
people. Like, that statement to me was like.
Like, I've heard black people who've made similar statements, and they feel like welfare is worse than slavery.
Okay.
Though I disagree, I understand what they're saying. What they're saying is, okay, it's a new form of slavery that keeps people oppressed and tied
see
to
how
a
you said
system.
That?
But the thing is that, you know, they pander to a base, right? Like, everybody panders to a base. So they, in order for them to pander to a base, they got to, you know, just like there are things Obama says. And I'm like, nah, that's terrible. Like, I wouldn't. But I understand Obama. It's like, I understand he's pandering to a base. Okay. If we had him sitting at a table, he probably wouldn't have said it that way.
Okay.
Right? The only person that you named that I would take the black card away from would be Raven Simone.
Yeah.
And only because... She doesn't. She said she didn't want.
She
be
don't
black.
Want it. Yeah.
At the point when you renounce the black card,
she's a problem.
I will gladly take that off your hand. There's some white folks I would give it to.
See,
yeah, Raven Simone is that she's a different.
Yeah,
I did not say Raven Simone, by the way, either. So said Stacey Dash, and Ben Carson. And
no, you said a woman before. You said Raven Simone, know, and then
did I say Raven Simone? I don't think I said Raven Simone. But it's all good. But
either we'll take
it. But
yes, I don't mind you taking Raven Simone.
She's in the free agency draft.
But yeah, she made the statement that she was willing, that she didn't want to be identified as, like, okay.
That's fine.
You can take Zoe Daldanas too. Hers as well.
She was never. She
well,
was
she's not. Dominican.
No, but she never. Yeah, she never.
But she doesn't want to be black.
Oh.
And I'm saying, like, anybody who.
Boop, take
you. Like, oh, okay. Well, you know.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is though.
I think you should be. Like, there's something very weird. Like, okay. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks like this, but like. I agree. Like, it is weird to be like, we took your black card, but we all take black cards. I feel like at some point, you know what I mean? Like, we'll look and just be like, nah. Like, there's, and it's hard to explain how and why.
Okay.
But if you get enough of us in a room.
Okay. But I would say, like, we're progressing in a day now where it's much harder to create a unilateral idea.
You guys take Russell Wilson's black card all day, every day.
Nah.
And he still wants
about what they do on 4th and 10?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I definitely don't. No. Just because I don't love him as much as Cam doesn't mean I took his black card. There's a difference.
Okay.
I think some people do, though.
Some people do.
I don't know if anybody in this room does, but I absolutely know some people do.
Yeah.
But I think most of that comes from him just being lame. Like, a lot of it's
true.
Absolutely true.
Can we?
And so I think Ryan Clark on ESPN made an amazing statement. He said, nowadays we can't, like, there's a difference between what we do is, and he was talking about Cam Newton. He was saying during the Super Bowl when he was, you know, making all these comments, he's like, what we have to understand is there's a difference between racism and just cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't love about Cam Newton is the cultural difference.
Right.
The fact that he's engaged in the hip-hop context, like, he's submerged in that. That's why when he scores, he dances, he dabs. Russell Wilson is not engaged in that cultural He's not a part of the cultural nuances of, as we would say, predominant African American communities are. And so therefore, black people or white people will love Russell Wilson more quickly than we'll love a Cam Newton.
I would add to that, there's a Southern aspect there with Cam Newton. Like, there's a country.
Because he plays in the Southern?
No, there's
South
a countryness to him in the way, like, because it's not just
a lack of refinement.
That I think that looks differently based upon how you do it. Because, I mean, there are plenty of just generally speaking, as someone who did not grow up in the South, there's an attitude in a way in which the South gets viewed often. And
I would say that's white as well.
I'm doubling down though on that idea of what you said first about it being a hip hop context and then also country. Because the same thing happens with Jameis Winston.
That dude, yeah.
You know, the level, he's how strong, he speaks. Strong, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's we just strong, like, man. Oh, he's dumb. Oh, he can't do da 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 da. I'm not making arguments that he's made the smartest decisions in his life, Jameis Winston, but I'm just saying on top of like the hip hop quote urban aspect, there's also this country part of it too.
I just believe in the spider sense that we have when it comes to like who's with us and who's not. I just believe
What I was going to say, and I think I didn't get to it, was I just don't think because our this nation is because we're becoming more culturally murky and it's becoming more diverse, it's harder and it's going to be extremely harder in the future to be able to make those distinctions. Because now I was having this conversation with a gentleman on Sunday. When I was growing up in Los Angeles or outside Los Angeles, black kids didn't skateboard.
Right.
We just didn't skateboard. Mm. But now what you do is you have black kids who skateboard. Now, is that mean for me to remove somebody's black card? But everybody skateboard.
Very true. No, no.
All black kids skateboard now almost, right? And so what we're doing is there's this hodgepodge-ness that's happening and this blurriness across cultural lines that I think now it's even more a time in which we're going to be a group of people who have to accept the idea that we're more dynamic than ever. Mm-hmm. And black people are going to make statements that are not popular to the majority of left-wing or democratic black people.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Like, so for instance, for me, like, there's a sense of, like, the whole black transgender, black queer movement to me, that's very weird to me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still, like, black people, like, being openly gay and domineering, like, in certain circles. Like, to me, that was not my childhood. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't what, even though I had gay friends, it just wasn't, like...
Yeah,
our gay associates. I'm not gonna make it seem like I was, but I knew gay people, and it just wasn't like
for clarity.
I had no gay friends.
I just didn't want to be the dude who's like I had gay friends growing up. It wasn't like I was trying to say that I didn't want to hang around. I didn't want to disassociate with gay people. It was just like, you know, I said I had black friends growing up. I just don't want to be the dude like, yeah, I grew up with a whole bunch of gay folks. Not knew gay people and associated with them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, that to me, understanding that the type of world we live in now is totally different, and I have to say, well, that's now a new part of blackness, and we understand, like, that's as Tori, this post blackness that I'm understanding that is involved in the totality of our story, and I can't just exclude them because it's not a part of my narrative of what black people looks like, and so therefore that's why I say I get this particular question.
And I'm saying
I feel like that's a new age question. Like, that's a contemporary question.
I'm just saying I don't, because I think even with, as it progresses, there's still something that, like, you just know.
For me, that's what I'm saying. For me, when I see transgender gay people, like, going ham on Twitter, I'm like, that's not blackness to me. Mm. So the next person was like, well, blackness ain't Ben Carson. Okay. And so what I'm saying, like, well, that's okay, well, cool. All
right.
And so that's where I'm like, well, for me, I get it. Like, I'm having to understand the dynamics of blackness today.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think the world's just getting smaller in general.
Yeah.
In terms of we can no longer, like, silo yourself in ways that where you don't know what's going on in other areas. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get this thing going, because we only had 17. We had all these questions. This thing's crazy.
We're going to have to just,
quick to support a non-black-owned business, but then hesitate when it's a black-owned business.
I mean, is there a cutoff time for this whole homophobia thing in the black community?
No.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Why is growing up without a father so common in our race?
Why don't we like
to... I don't like dude, so he's another like dude I don't like.
There's not generally people we like in this video, though.
There's a couple folks that I'm like, I can deal with. I can tolerate. But I feel like he's the same. He asks all the dumb questions. He asks the, is my dad on fleek? Am I lit? He just says stupid stuff.
Okay.
The father's question, shut up.
Yeah.
The black-owned businesses? Now, I'm not going to say I agree with the statement.
What are you going to say, brother?
But what I will say is that black-owned businesses, in particular communities, tend to not get patronized because of the customer service, and rightfully so. And if your business is not on the level of professionalism as that of another establishment on the same street, then I'm a freak with that one. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean all, because there are some amazing black-owned businesses, especially in Atlanta. A lot of one of my favorite restaurants is Debbie Delight in East Point.
I was scared. I thought you were going to say Potato Heads, and I was like, God, please don't say that place.
Why would I say that? Why would anyway?
We started describing like. But there's so many.
I can't even name how many great black-owned businesses there are. There's too many. But what I'm saying is there are. I will say, depending on the community in which you live, and usually I will say it's communities where if it's a community that seems to be underdeveloped in a sense, then usually I'm not going to frequent that place unless I know the people there and I feel like they're trying their best, because sometimes I go in places, even the chain, the franchise places just seem to like they just don't care. About
would you say that service. Same thing over in Eastlake? What's the barbecue spot that's like super hole in the wall? It's called Wyatt's Country Barbecue. Have you heard of this place over in Eastlake? Here's a picture right here. I'll describe it. It's a rundown shack.
Mm-hmm. I've been to some shacks.
Okay, so you have this is not what you're qualifying as far as like,
I'm
trying.
Talking about when I go inside. Okay. When I go inside, like I've been to some hole in the walls. I love hole in the walls.
Okay, cool.
Like sweet. I love hole in the walls. Like I feel like the best food I'm gonna get is from people who put attention into the food, and I feel like it's only like two or three cooks back there, and it's probably been passed down from generation to generation. Cool. But when I feel like I walk in there and you don't care about my service, like it's like, you know, the food is terrible and you don't treat me like my dollar means anything, I'm like, you know.
I'm not even playing any type of advocate, but just to make it more of an honest conversation, if we move outside of let's move outside of restaurants or food mm-hmm. industry. Because mm-hmm. she said black-owned business, it right?
Yeah.
I think that's more, like, that would provide a more honest reflection to say, like, okay, so would you have a black lawyer? Would you have a,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like these types of things. What's that?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely. So I intentionally, like usually for most times, when I almost try to find a black business before I go out my way to find someone else. Okay. And even at times I try to, because most of the time what I'm trying to do is find somebody within the community that I feel like is going to stay, some of the dollar stays in the community
right.
and it benefits the community. So for me, and even when I'm hiring people, I try to give like young black men and women an opportunity to so like if I have a video project that I'm like, hey, I got a couple bucks that I need to spend on this particular project, I'll reach out to like Kids for Morehouse or somebody like mm-hmm. Clark and say, hey, you're an up and coming video production student, hey, I got this project, get some dollars, learn something, mm-hmm. be a part of a film crew or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm all about patronizing, but my thing is this. So for instance, I got a young dude that you know commissioned him to
do some work.
There's a young dude that I know, I've gotten him hired to do particular work, right? Mm-hmm. I called a friend, got him a job, right? He calls me the next week, he's like, what up with your boy? I'm like, what do you mean, what's up with your boy? He's like, this dude is already trying to take off his first weekend of work. And he's like, I'm like, why? He's like, he said he has some event that he wants to do. And I'm like, oh. So I call him. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I was like, I just got you this good job. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're going to get a couple hundred dollars for this event, but this is a job that's going to keep you
right.
for right. Months at a time, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't, like, balance this. I like, for him, instant gratification was more mm-hmm. pleasing than the delayed right. gratification. Yeah. And I think a lot of times that's some of the struggle and attention for some African Americans who grow up in particular contexts when they probably don't have much, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. it's like, I need to come up right now.
Right, right, right.
And so oftentimes what I think the problem is even with patronizing black businesses is what do I feel is the best, the most appealing for my brand rather than what I think is going to be the best for a particular community or in the long haul. And oftentimes that's why we may go to a white lawyer or go to white banks instead of, so for instance, like I know a lot of friends who are trying to buy houses in a particular part of Atlanta. And, you know, there's certain banks that won't mess with that particular part of the community because they just don't believe it's worth investing in that particular community. But mm-hmm. if they're black owned, if they're black banks and black credit unions, they would because they understand what's happening and what these particular people are trying to do.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, I think a lot of it is just the systematic structures that we've been indoctrinated by, the systems, the way of thought,
yeah.
and I'm on, and so on and so forth. So it was a bunch of
I just want to make another quick ad for Kwanzaa and cooperative economics.
Yes.
And that, you know, to build and maintain our own store shops and other businesses. So profit Dang. From them together.
It was something I was going to ask you about that, but I can't remember.
Man, man.
Let's keep it moving.
Brent, yeah. our mental health
Goodness
issues.
Goodness gracious.
Therapy is such a wonderful and magical place.
Why is there a checklist for being black?
Why is being educated considered a white thing? Why can't I love school and also be black?
Why do I have to be mixed in order to have long hair?
Why do you...
That girl really has an issue about her hair. Like, she needs therapy.
Is it the same girl?
Yes.
I can't see.
Yeah, she's letting out personal problems in these shoes.
I think well-off black people don't know what it means to be black.
Black isn't only defined by adversity.
Why do some black people say... Oh, I have Native American in my family.
That's so true because I've heard you say that.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You're like, I got Seminole.
You heard
I got
me Seminole. Say it probably.
Or did you say
I ain't got no Seminole?
You?
Yeah, but I do though. No, I'm not.
No, I was just saying, I ain't got no Seminole. I've never
nah,
seen
my granddad legit is not a black dude. Like his, yeah, no, he's like, he
okay,
won't
this
claim
is something
it.
I've heard from lots of my black friends. Yeah. Like, I got, so what,
yeah.
why?
I'm the one telling the truth.
Why?
I think typically that's just what people have been told to
yeah.
say. It's like, oh, I got Indian in my family. But as your boy, with the Harvard professor, what is it?
Henry Louis Gates,
he reveals that you don't have any Native blood in you.
Can we play that full question though? Because it's not a full accurate depiction of what her question
okay,
is.
Okay, here we go. I'll run it back.
Defined by adversity.
Why do some black people say, oh, I have Native American in my family in order to feel interesting or more valuable than other black people around them?
Why can't we?
There we go. So, no. Let me start there.
Yeah.
Let me start with no.
So, no.
Likewise, I would say, though, that, you know, I have a long storied history that I can go back four generations for my family, right? And give you locations and dates about what Native American I have in my family and what where I'm like, yo, we just black. Like mm-hmm. it's just mm-hmm. black people on this side of the family or whatever. But the idea of like you know, that there's this complex like racial hierarchy thing and that we pull on that and trade on that, again, it's white supremacy. Like this idea to say anything mixed with black gives us a different type of leverage in the community or in the societal structure of the United States. So these are reflexive questions that I just keep going. I resent the fact that it's like you want to ask other black people when any type of study that you do about race in this country will point back to the fact that this has something that was inflicted upon us in the way in which we think about ourselves. It's not just this, yo, let's just think of a way in which we can, like, this yeah. isn't a homegrown thing. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
that's what bothers me about, like, let me say about 90-95% of these questions.
Yeah.
They're just like
absolutely
garbage.
But what was the question about mental health?
Why is it such a taboo topic?
Yeah, why don't we like to confront it?
I will say that is true, but I think it's changing. I mean, I do think mm-hmm. it's that narrative is changing, especially with like some of the suicides that's happened within, you know, popular or famous black advocates and whatnot. I would say definitely in the autism community, it's still taboo. People, to just black people tend to just not want to be labeled. And rightfully so, in the sense of going back to this white supremacy, when you, you know, because when you think about, for instance, kids not having the proper food to eat, you know, before they go to school, maybe not the the proper medicines or just the proper, like, healthy home structure, and they get to school and then they're labeled special needs. It's not that they're special needs. It's just, man, they have a broken home. They live in a broken community, and they just don't have the attention nor the desire to want to learn the ridiculous curriculum that you put before them, right? They need healthy structures and healthy systems. And if you gave them that, then they would flourish. But the problem is when people who make those types of assessments, well, inaccurate assessments, because of not wanting to be labeled for the right reasons in wrong circumstances, right? So, and so what I've met is a lot of African-American families who wait until it's too late. Not, it's never too late. They wait until maybe years until after they could have had some help and treatment for the kid.
It's very advanced at this point.
Exactly. And now you, what you should have done is when it was two, when you saw signs that this my child is not like my other children, you probably should have saw some attention.
I would also add that that mental health falls under this whole general suspicion that black people have with health and doctors.
I was about to go,
and,
yeah, that's where I was going to go.
Hospitals in general. And so, and that comes from a long, convoluted, corrupted history with being, with black bodies being used as guinea pigs and test agents for a bunch of things, to where it's been passed down that I don't trust what they have to say. There's things that we, you know, you can do. And so we've, there's often been like, there's often been, to our detriment, I'm not saying it's a great thing, but there's often, to our detriment, ways in which we've avoided a lot of things, or we've tried to avoid a lot of things, and so we've just said, well, you know, just pray about it, but like not actually do the work to get, you know, involved. Then I'd also say that black kids get like over-medicated oftentimes in a lot of areas, and so there's this, and that is not even just a black thing. I think just kids in general these days end up being over-medicated, and so there's this weird suspicion that happens around mental health. But I think if we look back generations, I think plenty of our fathers and our mothers dealt with like long-standing depression that never went diagnosed, and things that they just went through in terms of dealing with living in this country. And so that's all I got for that.
I think that there is too a level of you know, we want to support our troops and come alongside them in, in PTSD in that arena.
Yes.
But I think that there is a huge epidemic of PTSD in the adolescence of kids growing up in terrible environments, dealing with incredible amounts of violence. And I think there's PTSD there as well. And I think we turn a blind eye to one of those scenarios.
I agree. Anybody else here, though? We all have college degrees. Anybody feel white? You said they're educated.
So white.
You feel white?
All the time. All I told you I was wearing Skechers.
So why is being educated full transformation. Considered a white thing?
No.
I just didn't know.
Would you not agree that in the hip hop culture, that it's how successful can you be without an education is of more, you have beaten the system, and now versus those that do it through the system are looked down upon potentially.
I don't think it's a look down upon thing. I think that hip hop in its infancy was given, was created in a place of lack, right? In a place where school funding was literally cut. And so it comes out of this place of poverty and things being restricted, and then creating this beautiful, amazing, lucrative industry in light of being excluded from going traditional routes.
Sure.
And so that is part of the original ethos, but
now. I don't think that that's part of it now.
Yeah,
I don't
like think it's J. Cole's Kazi, yeah. Killer Mike. I mean, he went to Morehouse. I remember being at Morehouse and having David Banner speak at a class, mm-hmm. and yeah. finding out that he was SGA president of Southern.
So many people.
And chains. Then had like a 3.8 GPA, and then was like killing in his master's program
but
in
let's
Maryland.
Be honest, that's not something that they necessarily are offering up in their music or...
He wasn't. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. I think, it's just over time.
Yeah, and I get... So my experience is being in Trestle Tree, which is a neighborhood close by to us, mm-hmm. like, it is very much apparent that the highest value to them is how can we be most successful without an education. Mm-hmm. Education is not the keys to success. It is this that is being an athlete, being a hip-hop artist, being these things. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to offer up that it's not that you become white when you become educated, but that it's almost, it's of a higher value if you can not be educated and still be successful.
I think what happens, though, is more accurately what happens is this idea that the exposed pathways to success tend to be sports and entertainment.
Right, absolutely.
Which ultimately say, hey, you've got this incredible gift or this incredible skill. You do not have to go to school to make money off of that gift or skill. And so the idea of even like basketball and or football, it's like, hey, like, you can make it, you can make it, and you don't actually have to focus on the education part. You just need to get to the league. And so, so I think that happens. I think, if anything, the idea of putting in front of, black youth, more areas of success that black people have gone through, that have gone through formal education. I come from two parents who have advanced degrees and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's sure. just, it wasn't a thing.
The exposure to these pathways, but their exposure tends to be limited to, especially in more poverty-stricken areas, their exposure tends to be of famous athletes,
right.
famous musicians.
And one of the last things I'll say about that is the things that's changed, right, is one of these things where we can say, like, okay, who has been more visible than the Obamas for the last...
Mm-hmm.
8 or 9, right?
Like, that's really interesting. Yeah,
like, I mean, from the perspective of saying, okay, that's one of these also things where it's like the symbolism of it is so great to say, like,
sure.
look, like, these are two shining examples of people who have degrees and blah 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 and have advanced to the most powerful office in the world
and are still very much
so
black.
Just acknowledge that there are a bunch of different types of black people walking around, and they're all amazing and
that
unique
right
and
there.
Special in their own way.
We within the black community are so quick to kind of tear each other down and to look towards other races in terms of their success. And
so, I guess, do you want to keep playing? You want to play it out to the end?
We're almost done, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, in terms of what they have, but never want to kind of look into the mirror ourselves.
I love black folks, but that doesn't mean I don't have questions.
Why are we always looking for the discount? Shoot.
That was good.
Because that might be the first legitimate.
The 27th question.
27th.
Finally got to one.
Am I the only one?
I don't think it... I think I saw this old girl did a video, a response to this, and she made a statement, and I was like, hey, man, like, who's not looking for the discount?
I was like, apparently my wife is black.
Exactly.
Yes. She's Allison the most bird. Discounted.
Everybody's looking for the discount. Like, I don't know who wants to...
Couponing is
what not exactly. What non-wealthy person is out there like, yeah, wonderful. I want to pay full price for something.
Well, okay, I don't know if this is the way they meant to ask it, but I guess I'll ask it the way I'm hearing it. It's like, if I go into a place that I know somebody,
okay,
that's black, I'll be like, hey, what I got to do to not pay what it say I got to pay?
And I think that's everybody though. I think everybody. I think white people do the same thing. I'm sure Dan had friends who worked at Chick-fil-A or something, was like, hey, bro.
Dude, my buddy was a GM at Chick-fil-A, and I walk every Saturday morning, I walk in there, and I'm like, I'm not paying for this, right?
Yeah, okay.
That's everybody. You just people just that's this is people.
This is true.
Don't want the hookup.
That's what I'm saying.
What crazy fool is out here trying to avoid the hookup?
I don't know. You find that person and let sit them down because that's a 2-hour interview in itself.
Okay. Well, guys, that was fun.
They wore us out. BuzzFeed wore us out. We had so much energy going at them. By the end, we were just like, I'm tired.
This is more aptly titled 27 Questions Black People Have for Black People, written by white people.
Yeah.
I was like, see, once again, so let me, once again, let me go into my tirade. I will say it's not fair to say written by white people. What I will say is these are black people with different experiences. And... and we got to allow them to be black. But their experiences have taught them to ask certain questions that I would think informed black people are like, that's a dumb question. But you're still black and we love you.
I just feel like these questions were passed by a white person. Is that fair to say?
To think that... First of all, I just don't assume know like there's a master white man behind the scenes like puppeting these...
I'm taking your black card.
Like just that, that's,
you don't that, believe in the man. I do.
Well, all right.
You not see undercover?
Did you not see? That's how you get it took right there, man.
Like just editing, doing so many videos, you can get a sense of like when a video is genuine, and when a video is disingenuous. And
I think BuzzFeed in general is a. So this is what I'll say. I'll say BuzzFeed is appealing to a hipster black context that I just don't relate to. Even old girl Quenisha, like when she does all her little
Quinta,
is that her name?
Quinta B?
Yeah. Does her skits and stuff like that, I'm like, they're not funny to me. Like it's not my reality. It's like I don't, you know, that's I grew up in Sherman Oaks black folk.
That new black? That new black.
Yeah, it is. And it's just like, I don't connect with it.
Heights, is that?
It is. I'm like that. It's not even Baldwin Hills. It's like, it's just a different kind of black folk. And so for me,
it's the valley.
It fits, like, I expect that from BuzzFeed. Right? That's what I expect from BuzzFeed. Now, if it was something else, like the Griot or something, then no, I would expect there to be some more informed questions, some more poignant questions. Actually, I wouldn't even expect them to do questions with black folk. But I would expect a good dialogue. And so for me, this is kind of like what I've come to know and learn as this new kind of like black context that's growing out of the MTV, the Kanye West, suburban black culture world that a lot of us probably don't connect with. And even though I spend times in suburbs, I still grew up in a black suburb where people kind of had a particular way, as David likes to put it, a particular sense of smell about them. But because the world is growing and those kids grew up and went to other schools and took up norms and came back and started families, we're developing a new type.
These are the black people that let their white friends say the N-word around them. We all know that that's a thing. And we can smell it on his article. I'm just saying.
Did nobody want to say it? I don't think there's a thing. If it's a thing, I don't know anybody.
No, that's a thing, and I'll be ready to smack people.
Yeah, no. I know a guy. He's a wakeboarder, and he is. I would say that he is very hip hop, but he thinks that it's cool for everyone to. He calls white people the N word, and
But I dared him to say something. Like, yeah.
No, I don't call white people the N word in front of white people.
No. He goes up. What's up?
Yeah, to other black people or white people.
I'm like,
I've done that in just to kind of see a reaction.
Nah, I'll be like, I'll watch TV and I'll like see something like somebody do something stupid and they could be white. And I'll be like, this.
Yeah,
but I won't be like, that's ridiculous. Like, no.
Well, I don't know. I stand. All right, so I think white people can be like, I don't know. Like, I think so. Maybe.
What are you about to say?
White people can be niggas. I've said that on stage. I believe that because I don't think.
I thought you were about to say white people can say.
Come on. What? No.
This is the part of it that I don't get, and I'm not trying to get, but I will say it's interesting how it was used earlier to say, hey, there's this commonality, this common bond in saying it, but you could also use it in a derogatory
very
sense.
Much so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It still fits to what Adon says is the relational piece. It's because I use it in all
you
kinds of contexts.
You can't use babe in a derogatory, you can't like
No, it's but you can use
special word in the English language.
You'd be like dumb. You'd be like, man, you dumb, bro. Yeah, you like dumb.
You know what I'm saying? You're stupid.
In the same sense, it's like, you know, I love Chris Rock likes to put it. He's a, we know there's black folks and there's niggas.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you use it in that context. Sometimes you use it in an affirming way. Mm-hmm. Other times you just use it in just the pat and a blase, just, oh, y'all some crazy niggas. You know what I'm saying?
And sometimes, like me, you just never use it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Be careful, Dan.
Be careful.
Just be careful.
Be careful with what?
For a second, I thought you were about to say something slick.
Oh, no.
Man, Dan ain't going.
But anyway.
I know my side of the court. I stay on my side of the court.
I would just say that BuzzFeed, it is what it is. And I expect that almost from BuzzFeed.
But if BuzzFeed would like to sponsor Off the Record or Fourth District...
Oh, they can do that. Just know it ain't gonna be that new black.
We ain't gonna be that new black.
All right.
Check out my Buzzy article that I was on.
TV. Oh, you mean the one that was at to the photos?
Come on, man. I thought we had distanced ourselves enough away from it. I could bring it back. Jeez.
All right. So we just spent an hour and a half, I think, just. And I think we all had intentions to go through this a lot quicker.
But it was so dumb. It was so dumb.
It needed that section.
Yeah, the stupidity needs attention. And so we gave it a lot of attention. But that's it. Thank y'all for rocking with us. Hopefully we'll be back next week. You know what I'm saying? And we'll hopefully see. Dave will bring his A game. And if not, we always got JP to rely on. We can bring JP back.
Look, me and JP, man, we need to have our own thing.
Right? You do. Y'all good.
Shining.
That would be excellent. But until then, it's the show, and we hop.